But soon he will learn manners. I will torture his body so that his soul learns to be humble.
Okay, he know we just talking here, right? I mean, we just getting people interested in
Cage Against the Machine.
It's possible that it wasn't buried.
Okay.
It's possible that, as we always talk about, a really good place to hide things is right in front of them.
Right, right.
So maybe it wasn't relevant.
Right.
Because the narrative for so long, unfortunately, has been, you know, the Jackie Robbins kind of thing, right?
Right.
So that wasn't a popular narrative, or maybe we're looking for the male heroes, so we're surprised when we hear about these women heroes.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So we're comparing everything to the Rosa Parks lens rather than, oh, did you know about these three mathematicians? Well, an engineer, a mathematician, and a programmer. Mm-hmm. So that's a perspective. I was inspired.
But of course, that is the narrative, right? Bury black women in any way that you can. And even if it's, sure, it might have been right in front of our faces, and, you know, but for those of us who can't go to the NASA Museum.
Right.
You
or
know.
The Washington, D.C. Museum, right.
Exactly.
Or, you know, and it's deep, because I was even surprised, because I mean, having family in Florida and being through Texas, I've seen that kind of NASA stuff. But
right.
The whole Virginia stuff, I was surprised even myself, but it makes sense.
Right.
If you're starting to go to space.
Right.
At that time, you don't want that too far away from Pentagon, D.C.
Right, right, right. And then CIA. For me, you know, for me, a guy who has been involved in science, the fact that I didn't know about these three young ladies right. is what really disturbed me.
Yeah.
And of course, I also have to take a part of the blame myself, right?
Yeah.
But
I think that's easier.
Yeah.
I think it's easier if you say, I was slipping, I didn't know about that. There's so much more work you can do. Mm-hmm. Rather than going, you should have educated me on that.
Right.
There's not a lot you could do. You don't really have control in that. I hear you.
Right, right. And like I said, it's partially my fault because, you know, I didn't go searching for the information. I flat out didn't.
Right. Right. I think it's similar to, you know, I was having a convo New Year's. I was hanging out with, shout out to Josh Shia. I was hanging out with him on.
What up, Ja?
On New Year's, and we were talking about black belts aren't actually that old.
No.
Not really.
No.
Now, we don't know the truth. We don't know the true story of whether they were created for us in America or.
Right. Right.
Or they came out accidentally and organically. But that's kind of something both he and I had just found out recently. In the last 2 to 3 years, and the question becomes, shouldn't you, as somebody who's wanted a black belt, isn't that something you should kind of know? That they're kind of new?
Well, from what I understand, it was just created as a system.
Mm-hmm.
The belts were created as a system for international and Olympic competition.
Yes, yes.
So.
And also certain places, you know, like when you start putting them in the curriculum of a school.
Right.
Things like that.
Right.
For those who are just tuning in, it is 2018.
Sort of.
We are Cage Against the Machine.
Indeed.
The premier and first foremost place for the intersection between mixed martial arts and urban entertainment. I am the Sweet MBA. I am joined by my esteemed colleague.
The Dr. J.K. Akins.
And what does that mean? It means I have a master's of business. And he has a PhD in chemical engineering.
Indeed.
And in addition to that, we do a lot of martial arts.
Yeah, something like that.
And I can speak for myself in saying my favorite sport of all sports is mixed martial arts. And the premier league that I watch is the UFC.
Yes. And it's one of my three favorites.
Yes. When he's not splitting his time between his Golden State Warriors.
Indeed.
And we are here in this gorgeous and well-constructed audiovisual performance institute known as Dream Ear and Dream Eye. Everything you're hearing, seeing, it's all put together by none other than Deshaun Davis of Dream.
What up, D-Squared?
Buy a beat. It'll change your life. We are distributed by The Sly Show. And this is going to be a great year for us. We had an incredible year last year. What we're essentially here to do is talk to you about UFC events, how to watch it, how to score it, and what you should be excited about. And tonight we are going to discuss the year's first, 2018's first UFC.
Right. First pay-per-view event,
pay-per-view, UFC 220?
It is UFC 220.
Which is Stipe Miocic versus Francis.
The man-child, the predator, Francis Ngannou.
Who might actually be man-ape. We'll come back to that. I just it can tell you what year it is. It's going to be a great year. We'll preview that and come back to it. But we're going to start off, as we always do, with the prelims. Our first fight, hailing from Russia by way of hanging out with far too many Dagestanis.
Yes.
We have Islam Makhachev versus, you really don't know how much weight I have to cut to get down to this size. Gleison Tibau.
Man, Tibau, I can guarantee you he walks around at 190.
Yeah, no, or if that. I mean, 205.
I can guarantee.
But there's a reason why you haven't seen him for a while.
And what reason would that be?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he wasn't using natural ways to cut that weight.
Oh, that's right. Wasn't he doing the water pills?
Right.
Yeah,
water pills. That's what we're calling them now. Same water pills that John Jones bought in a gas station in Eastern Europe.
Right. Wink, wink.
Incredible fighters. Both of them are really good grapplers and aggressive with it. And they're both got a lot of, it's hard to say. I have not seen Tibau in a long time.
It's been 2 years.
2 years is dog years in MMA.
Oh,
two
and years, especially at his age.
2 years is like four seasons in basketball.
Isn't Gleison Tibau about 40, 43, something like that? He's somewhere in that area.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe
he's somewhere in that area.
If that.
I mean, he
could be older and he just, you know, hey, bought a you know, birth certificate from a friend of a friend in Tijuana. You know what I mean?
Yikes.
Wow, 41-11. Maybe that's his record or his age.
Or a combination of both.
So how do you gear this? By pure numbers, the younger guy has more gas.
Right. And, as we know, Gleison Tibau is infamous for his lack of
stamina.
Yeah.
So after 2 years, so he's already got that. Then you also have Islam Makhachev, who just came off of a training camp with Daniel Cormier and none other than Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Yes.
And if you saw him at 219, like we told you, looking like, you know.
He just beat down Edson Barboza.
He looked like his idea of cardio was, I'm going to run from San Jose to San Francisco and back every day. He looked like he had a gas tank and then some.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm talking about sloppy, you need to get some cardio to deal with this boy.
Man,
so if you're bringing that to the table, in my opinion, this fight does not go past the first round. And it's a TKO by Islam Makhachev.
I also have Makhachev winning this fight, but I only took him by decision because Gleison Tibau has the uncanny ability to stay in fights.
To survive. Yeah, absolutely. He is sturdy. He's stubborn in that way.
Yes. And even though he runs out of gas tank and he most of the time, as we've seen, he is visibly gassed.
Absolutely.
And probably couldn't go another second. But he musters the courage and the strength to get through these fights.
Agreed.
Even if he loses them.
Agreed. I think we're unanimous on that one. We know it's going to be Islam is going to win. Our next fight is a familiar face who you haven't seen in a while. How do you pronounce that first name?
Maranya.
See, he's
Moroz.
He's cultural, not me.
Well, you know.
Maranya, Iron Lady Moroz versus Jamie, I have no nickname, Moyle, who looks a little too nice to be in MMA. A little too polite.
This is too much too fast for Jamie.
Yes.
I
one could hope that Morose is so embarrassed by her last performance that she's still shaken up.
Now, here's the interesting part.
Mm-hmm.
Moyle and Morose actually have a common opponent. Vivian Pereira.
Right. Okay.
And for those of you who do not know Vivian Pereira, she is the 5'1" beast of a 115-pound woman out of Brazil, who is absolutely built like a Mack truck. And I actually believe, personally, I thought that Morose lost to Pereira. Personally.
Okay.
But she got the judge's decision. She got the judge's decision.
Okay.
And Moyle, she got ran through by Pereira.
I also feel like Morose really struggled with her grappling on her last showing.
Well, yeah. I mean,
did you go back to the drawing board? Do you think that's enough time? I think it's been 9 months. Can you pick up that much?
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, Pereira is just interesting because she makes a lot of the people that she fight look like a shell of themselves.
Right.
Even if she does come out on the losing end, you come away still feeling as if Pereira has won most of those fights.
Right.
So, with Morose, I'm interested in seeing what she has in store for Moyle because she doesn't have the same reach advantage that she did against Pereira. And even with that reach advantage against Pereira, Morose did not do very well, and Pereira was able to get inside. So, is she more skilled than Moya? Probably. Than Moyle? I'm sorry.
I was about probably. To say, are you talking about the ship from Farscape?
Yeah, she's Morose is probably more skilled than Moyle. My question is going to be, and I personally believe that Morose is just, this is too much for Moyle. Too soon.
Got it.
What I personally believe. But Morose has this uncanny ability of fighting down to the competition.
Yeah. I feel like if Moyle really picked up some strong grappling and top game from her last fight, she will dominate.
Well, Morose can be bullied.
Yeah. Other than that, I think Morose can outstrike her. This is not going to be the most exciting fight.
No, probably not.
But it will end up Morose in decision.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I took.
Okay. Fair. Moving on. I know. I just think they didn't pay these guys. I just don't think they like them.
This fight, to what I understand, is still happening.
Yeah, Dan the Danimal.
Ige.
Japanese?
I have no idea.
Okay. Versus Julio Arce. It's a black and white pick. It makes me feel like maybe the UFC doesn't like you very much, or if you lose,
it's kind of like the fade out color from the Ultimate Fighter when somebody loses on the bracket.
Or the Contender. You ever watch that?
Yeah.
You notice it's always like everybody's in gray.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yep.
You're not guaranteed.
Right.
The Danimal. Yeah. You got a Danimal body. Versus, I don't know. This kind of, I don't know. Kind of looks like a dating app, you guys.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! He went there.
Prepare to be underwhelmed. I don't know.
I actually disagree.
Really? Okay. Tell me what I should see. In this
okay.
Fight.
So this may be actually the most evenly matched fight on this card.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
The one thing that I like about Ige and Arce.
Okay.
Is they have a myriad of ways that they can end the fight.
Okay.
Ige is probably one of the better grapplers at 145 pounds.
Okay.
With Arse, he's kind of a pick your poison kind of guy.
Okay.
He waits to see where the fight goes and then looks for the hole that he can take advantage of within said fight.
Okay.
So, considering that both of these fighters can finish these fights in these so many different ways,
yeah.
I actually think it's going to make it a very explosive fight.
Okay. I just got to say, and I take your word for it, I've learned through 2 years of doing this not to argue with you. I'm not impressed with Ige's conditioning. When I look at his midsection and I feel your body reminds me of a certain heavyweight.
Oh, no. You went there. That has a mullet?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. Yes, a kung fu guy.
Yeah.
You shouldn't look like that at 145.
Okay.
And that's usually a good indicator, right?
Right.
That's usually an indicator that you got about two leg kicks.
Right.
You got two belly kicks before you're done.
But I think he actually took this picture at the beginning of his training camp.
Okay.
So he may not look like that.
That's why, that's why it's black and white. Okay. So who are you going for?
I am actually going to take Ige by submission.
Interesting. My instincts still tell me this is going to be a sparring match that ends in a draw.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Moving on to the next fight, we have Dustin, and I can't believe his name is not Dustin Diamond, but it's Dustin Ortiz.
Yeah.
If we were just honest about it, he does look like Screech, and nobody wants to admit it. Versus Alejandre
Pantoja.
That could have been my name.
Yeah.
My middle name is.
Yeah.
I could have been Alejandre.
Yes.
You know, you can say that and get like free tapas.
Except for he's.
Like, you ever seen the salt guy? Just,
except for he's Brazilian.
You know what? You're being culturally relevant.
Oh.
And that's that. I need you to leave that in 2015.
Gotcha. My bad. What was I thinking?
But I mean, he's Brazilian, but he had to name himself the cannibal because that's helpful.
Yeah,
that's helpful for opening
eyes. I was
eyes.
Confused about that. His teammates gave him that name,
right?
I'm just like, why would you take on that nickname?
Yeah,
why would you want to be associated with Jeffrey Dahmer?
Exactly. I don't think he's ever heard of him. This is a really hard one to figure out because Ortiz clearly has the power when he lands, and Pantoja clearly has the volume and the accuracy. So when they flurry, it's hard to figure out what's going to happen here. Well, Alejandre can stun.
Right.
But Pantoja can end.
Pantoja, though, is probably the best counter striker at 125 pounds.
I could see that.
So if you... One thing that Dustin Ortiz has always left himself open to is he likes to throw that left hook, and then he gets stung by a flurry of jabs.
Right, right.
And if you do that against Pantoja, the fight might be ending.
Yeah.
So, I think this fight is very evenly matched as well. For those of you who don't know, Alexandre Pantoja was actually the number one seed on the Ultimate Fighter at 125 pounds. Wow. And he ended up being a surprise loser. But since losing at the Ultimate Fighter, where he was really he was an overwhelming favorite and he fell short. But since taking that fight, taking on the Ultimate Fighter and losing there, and then getting his UFC contract after that, if you've been watching Pantoja, you're beginning to see what all the hype was about. The only issue is that we're talking about two fighters who happen to be in the same weight class as the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I think probably Pantoja will end it by submission.
I am gonna take Pantoja by decision.
Third round?
I'm gonna take him by decision. I think this goes the distance.
Okay. All right. I think we're very closely aligned in this.
Yes.
This next one may sound familiar to you because it is actually a run it back from UFC, or was it
218?
218.
UFC 218.
Was that New York?
Todd
Anderson. No.
Oh, jeez, no.
No, it wasn't in New York.
That's a buzzword around
right.
here.
Right.
That is a buzzword.
Speaking of buzzwords, did you hear John McCarthy is
now a Bellator color commentator? Yes.
Yeah, this is interesting.
You know why? Because now a lot of people want to hear the
ref's perspective.
Yeah, they want to hear the perspective of what an official sees during the course of a fight.
But the sad part is, you know who else they signed?
Who?
To speak? Chael Sonnen. Not a fan. I'd like to see.
He is dynamic behind a microphone, though. Because he also had a short time, for a very short time, he was a mixed martial arts analyst with ESPN.
Yeah, with
and
Gilbert.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, no, he was. No,
he's always phenomenal.
No, I even with Cormier, it's kind of weird to me. I just don't like active fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Active fighters.
Yeah, I hear
you. Being on the screen every week.
I hear you. It's worked out.
Because I think it affects the narrative. But that's
It works wonders for Tyron Woodley. First of all, big ups to Tyron Woodley because he has taken advantage of every single nook and cranny that he can.
Yes.
And now there are people who don't even watch mixed martial arts who know his name because he's on TMZ.
Right. And doing his podcast. But he does need to come back and fight and shut up some people. We have Sabah
Hamasi.
Hamasi, the problem. Yeah, he had a problem last fight.
A big problem.
Versus Abdul Razak Al-Hazan. I don't see this fight ending very different.
It doesn't go. Less, it's not going to go any different.
Less eye pokes, less nut kicking.
Yeah.
A bunch more knockouts.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Al-Hazan is a monster.
That he is.
Is a monster. He's almost the flip side of that Jimmy Rivera. He's just not nasty. I just see this ending very quickly in the second round.
And it's going to end up gruesomely.
Yeah. I see you, Dana. You just love, they had to run it back. They just love the Muslim on Muslim violence.
Yeah, man. I was trying to avoid that narrative. I was trying to avoid going there, but when you make it that obvious, it's,
Now, this is an interesting one, and I'm going to tell you, the fight may not be interesting, but the tattoos are a whole other level. You have Kyle the Crash Bochnek. I know I ruined your name. It's probably Bosniak. I don't care. You don't care. Versus Brandon Davis. AKA the guy. what guy from The Walking Dead?
Who's from The Walking Dead?
You think he looks like Rick?
No,
he don't look like Rick. You just think, no. He don't look like Rick. He looks like Sauron's unclaimed son.
Damn. Well, that sucks.
Here we go. Do you know much about these two fighters?
I do, actually.
I'm sure you do.
I do, actually. Kyle Bunchak,
yes.
Who is nicknamed Crash.
Yep.
You're going to find out real soon why they call him Crash. The crazy thing about Bunchak is that he just seems to end up in these knockdown, drag him out fights that have absolutely no technical sense to them at all.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that is the reason why they called him Crash. Now, Brandon Davis is actually probably the better fighter.
I wonder if he's related to Marcus Davis.
Yeah, that's a great question. But for Davis, this is going to be about whether or not he can dictate the pace of the fight. Because Bunchak, even though he's not, in my opinion, a greater fighter as Davis, he still has that uncanny propensity to still control the pace of the fight, even though he's not as technically sound as some other fighters in the UFC.
Right.
And that is really, literally, how Bunchak has made his living in mixed martial arts. It is organized confusion.
And if you're wondering what that looks like, a good reference point, correct me if I'm wrong, would be for old school fans who remember Chris Lieben.
That is a very apt comparison. Absolutely.
It's what they used to call freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they talk about a style.
And he is, like I said, Munchak is organized chaos in the cage.
Yeah.
Brandon Davis is a classic striker who can pick you apart with the jab, create combinations off those jabs, in those combinations with leg kicks to set you up for something else later in the fight. And it's the perfect contrast and style. That's what's going to make this fight so interesting, because it's going to be unpredictable.
Yeah.
Something crazy is going to happen in this fight. I just don't know what it's going to be.
I still feel like Davis will inch out the decision, though.
I agree with that.
Given his range, his counter-striking, and his technicality.
I agree with that. But however, keep in mind.
Take damage, though.
Yeah. Munchak is dangerous.
Yeah.
Extremely dangerous, because he is extremely unpredictable.
Moving on to our next fight. Question we'll have to ask. You're going to ask this.
Yes.
Why is this fight happening?
Yeah.
I knew that. I could tell from the minute. And let's frame this. Thomas
Almeida.
We would give you his nickname. It don't make no sense. Versus Rob, I used to be called Hot Chocolate Font.
No, Hot Chocolate was Danny Roberts.
Yeah, but they look identical, and they have the same problem.
Why did I even set that up? I don't even know why I set that up.
You know.
Well,
my mama said, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all, but that defeats the purpose of a podcast.
Well, I mean, with Almeida, right?
Yes.
Almeida has not been the same since he took that hellacious punch from Cody Garbrandt. And that fight against Garbrandt actually catapulted Garbrandt into title contention.
Absolutely. Did you see the story about him sparring with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
I did not.
And Jean-Claude, like, kicking him in the mouth multiple times?
Wow.
Yeah. It would seem that Garbrandt, and as I've said for a while, has had a problem with understanding kicking range.
Hmm.
And that's why he's at Tiger Muay Thai.
Well, I mean, hate to say I told you so, but I did.
Right, yes, yeah.
Hate to say I told you so, but I did.
I did not really believe that somebody would fall into that trap.
And he never saw that kick come.
No. I mean, even worse, like, he did the whole, like, oh, it's over the head, like, which, to someone sparring with you, it's like, oh, thank you for letting me know how to adjust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now I can aim for your ear.
And then he tried to make an excuse saying that it was a technical error. It wasn't a technical error. You just got caught.
Right.
You never saw that kick coming.
You guided it in. The minute you do this with your hand, you just tell the person, kick lower. You should never put your hands up.
Man.
I think this goes pretty simple. I think Rob Font gets knocked out in the first round.
See, here's the thing, though.
Okay.
Almeida has the propensity to wither under pressure.
Got it. Do you think that Rob Font has pressure he can bring?
No, I mean not pressure in sense of the fight, but pressure in sense of the moment.
Okay.
And we have seen this from Tomas Almeida already, withering under pressure. Now, with Rob Font, the interesting thing about him is he has this uncanny ability to get caught in compromising positions.
Oof.
See? So even though he gets caught in these compromising positions, he finds a way to kind of wither out of those positions. However, if you do that with Almeida, you may actually end up losing the fight.
Okay.
So I am going to take Rob Font by decision reluctantly, very reluctantly. But I'm really only doing it because at least I know that Rob Font can weather a storm.
Okay.
Almeida cannot.
Got it.
Or at least he hasn't shown that yet. So we'll see. We'll see.
This actually might be my time to go and have some tacos during this fight.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Wow.
We're going to take a commercial break, pay some bills, and we'll be back with you. We are Cage Against the Machine. I am Sweet NBA.
Joined and by Dr. J.K. Akins.
All sounds and editing, all things like that provided by Sean Davis at Dream Air. See you in a bit.
This is Tyson Griffin.
Sean Bunch.
The Myron A. Hitman Smith.
Jordan the Juggernaut Powell.
Mauricio Alonso. Shout out to Cage Against the Machine, MMA Podcast, MMA Fantasy League for you.
You Google them right now, because I'm about to Google them.
And we are back live and direct.
Yes, indeed.
Coming to you from sunny but freezing and wet Bay Area, California. Hence our manuaries, growing out the beard, because not growing out the beard is going to cost you when it's frostbite outside. moving on to our next fight, we have Gian. I play too much Violante.
Oh, man, tell me about it.
With Francimar Bodeo Barroso. Why do I say that you play too much? Gian Violante, I used to pick him twice, 2 years in a row in my fantasy league. He has all the abilities. He has the luxury, and I emphasize the luxury. He gets to train with the Henzo Gracie Mafia between Matt Serra, Chris Weidman, Wonderboy Thompson. He gets that whole clique, but then he also gets the whole Mark Anthony clique out in Jersey. And then on top of which, he gets to train with Stipe Miocic. And still cannot deliver. Power punches, and wonder why he doesn't hit. And it's predictable. And I'm not trying to criticize, I guess I am. I understand that you are fighting a serious fight. I'm not in the UFC octagon, but a blind man can see that you can't just keep going for the knockout. You have to put together some combos.
Well, Mr. Sweet.
Yes.
As you know, since I am the diabolical one, I am going to take this a step further.
Okay.
Volante can't seem to get out of his own way.
No.
It is now at the point where I'm beginning to question whether or not he even takes his opponents seriously.
Or himself. Or is it possible that he has a really good relationship with the owner of the company? And therefore does not feel challenged.
All right, so everybody, to Sweet's point, right? What I want each of you to do is go to the UFC's website.
Looking for a
and
fight.
Click on John Volante's name so you can actually see the expanded fight history in the UFC. And he has been up and down since his inception in the UFC, hence the 15-8 record. Here's where the issue lies, though, right, with this particular fight. Barroso isn't that good. Barroso flat out is not that good. But
Volante could be that good.
I don't think so. The reason why I say that is because when you give a guy like me the sense that you don't take this thing seriously, whenever your mental game is not up to par, your physical game is not going to be.
It occurs to me that it's possible that he may have caught weed carrier disease.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Maybe.
In the same way that the Artem Lobov.
Yes.
Right?
Maybe.
He may have been the Artem Lobov for Weidman for too long.
Maybe.
And you always bring this up, and it's a weird thing because loyalty is everything. It's such part of the honor code in martial arts, but it is a business, and sometimes you have to shake it up, and you have to train other places and try new things. And we've seen that the people who have reinvented themselves or have had a second win have done it. I mean, again, and we'll talk about this, Cyborg's victory, which was close, has a lot to do with the fact that she wasn't just doing shoot-a-box things anymore. So I think you have to be willing to say, okay, I've learned my lesson. After the second, the third, if I'm getting the same results, I got to shake this up. I might have
you
to
have
cross
to
the country
get
for 9 weeks.
Out of your own way.
Absolutely.
You have to be able to do that. And John Volante has not been able to do that. Luckily for him, he is fighting Francimar Barroso. The question that I have coming into this is this the fight where Volante finally puts it together? Or is this the fight that finally crushes his confidence for good?
I suspect he overcommits, swings too hard, gets taken down and choked out.
I am actually taking the former. I am going to take Barroso.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
To win this fight.
By submission.
Yes.
In the second or third round. Yeah, we're of the same mind. I think Volante goes for a knockout.
And once this happens,
yeah,
Dana White, Sean Shelby, and whatever other ash makers there are, listen to J.K. Atkins very closely.
Or hire J.K. Atkins.
Or that.
Cut. A small nominal fee.
Cut.
Girl, you know you need to cut it.
Cut Volante.
Girl, you
need to cut it. He's got to go. He got to go.
And he's got a job. You have looking for a fight.
Exactly.
You might as well just put him and Din Thomas on looking for a fight. Moving on, we have Calvin Kattar versus Shane the Hurricane Burgos. That guy looks like he's on Walking Dead. That's what you meant. Calvin looks like he's on Walking Dead. Walking Dead?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Well, as you know, I don't really watch television outside of sports.
Right, sports and then Marvel.
I'm just, got it. Yeah, fair. I'm just basketball, mixed martial arts, and football, really.
Fair.
With the occasional hockey.
Fair. No World Star Fight Comps?
Hell no. Hell no.
Come on, look, to stop judging the sport. I don't know how to call this one, but I've been impressed with Shane Burgos in the past.
I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this.
And a 10-0 record in UFC is
there
not
is
something to balk at.
There is no question to me.
Yeah.
That Calvin Kattar.
Yeah.
Is definitely a UFC level fighter.
Yeah.
I like this kid a lot.
17-2.
I like this kid a lot. Here's the question. Here's the thing though.
Yeah.
I personally believe that Shane Burgos is special.
Yes.
And I'm not talking good. I'm talking special.
Yeah.
I personally believe that Burgos will be the fighter that Max Holloway is going to see very soon.
Oh, really?
I think that Burgos is that special.
I'm going to save my comments on what you just said for 222, because now that it's been booked.
Yes. I got Burgos in a knockout, but... Calvin Kattar has nothing to hang his hat about. He has a bright future in the UFC as well.
Right. Okay. So how does it end for you?
I have Burgos in a knockout.
Got it. I can see that second round. I can absolutely see that. I can also see, if it doesn't, I can see Kattar knocking him out in the third.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah. Somebody's going to sleep in this fight.
No question.
And that's why it's put there.
Absolutely.
To lead us into our co-main event of the evening.
Oh, boy.
How do I want to talk about this? I don't want to spend any time on the past and the negativity. I think we've done enough of that. And although we are slightly psychic, I don't think we have to say that. To say that we are fans as well as big supporters of Daniel Cormier... might be an understatement. We are into local fighters. We do like people who care about our community. We also like people who care about the community that looks like us in the Bay Area. So coming up next, we have Daniel Cormier. And his nickname is DC, which I did hear a great comment from Eli, who did point out his nickname should be KFC. versus Volkan No Time Ozdemir. Now they call him No Time because he thinks he can knock people out in no time.
Yeah. But and so far he's been right about that.
He's been right, but to be fair, who have you been fighting?
He's fought pretty much the top 10 competition. They're just not Daniel Cormier.
Right. Right. But who did he knock out in no time?
Manawa. Almost no time at all.
Yeah, again. Who hasn't knocked out Manoa, who isn't named Corey Anderson?
Well, there's that.
And over at St. Peru. You know what I mean? Like, okay, who else?
Yeah. He's clipped a few people.
He's clipped some people who wanted to be clipped.
Yeah. He's clipped a couple of people. I would have to look back over his fight history.
Did he clip Gustafsson?
I don't think he... Did he ever fight Gustafsson?
No.
I don't believe so.
Did he clip Teixeira?
I'm not sure.
It's kind of weird. I mean, yeah, I would have to
see Mr. Davis. Would you mind bringing up his fight history? Yeah, that would be great.
So I'm not taking shots at you. So that's the first one. So he's fights out of Coconut Creek. So that generally is an ATT indicator.
Mm-hmm.
Manwa.
Okay, so yeah, he's Kurnov. He got Sakurnov. Yeah, he got Sakurnov. And he got Manwa.
But the interesting thing is OSP, it was a decision by split. So it was a close fight.
Yes, yes.
Save my point. I'm impressed.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. We certainly appreciate it.
I'm impressed, but I also kind of don't know that this guy should be here this soon.
I mean, honestly.
Has he knocked out some people? Yes, he knocked out two people.
Yeah, I mean.
Did he magically get to the top 10? Yes, that too.
I mean, you have a point, but at the same time, he's literally the only guy that would even be close to be worthy.
I still feel like he should have gone through Gustafsson. I felt like the winner of him and Gustafsson.
Gustafsson is injured.
True. Okay, never mind. I'll shut up. All right, so do we believe the power right hand of Ozdemir is enough to take the belt from Daniel Cormier?
It can be, but considering that Daniel Cormier's head is made of granite, my question has been, when I found out that this fight was going to happen, what would Ozdemir do when he throws that first big shot and Cormier eats it?
Mm-hmm. Or when Cormier ducks under and shoots.
Right. Because we have yet to see anybody thwart the takedown attempts of Daniel Cormier.
I don't think he has anything for him once those happen. I think for me, as we were talking about in the car, the question I can't answer is, Daniel Cormier has had one of the more incredible chins in MMA. He has walked through some of the most powerful shots ever.
Including Anthony Johnson.
Right. And this brings us to our point. This is back to our point, right? Anthony Johnson shot, kick to the head. Daniel Cormier doesn't die. John Jones knocks him out. Then we find out John Jones is on steroids.
Again.
That's science. So does Daniel Cormier's head, is it able to recover? Or was that the chin? Because that's what they said. All it takes is one time to screw the cap off the ketchup.
Really. And here's the thing that a lot of people need to understand. Scientifically.
Yes.
Your ability to take these shots has more to do with your conditioning.
Yes, of course. Your neck.
Than anything else. Yeah,
absolutely.
And the body's ability to get oxygen to the brain.
Yes.
Once you take a big shot.
Yes.
Daniel Cormier's conditioning is legendary.
Right. I would even argue, when we're talking about this, I think he was training so close with the Dagestani, with the Eagle MMA guys. I think if we thought Habib's conditioning was really good, I think Daniel's Cormier's is going to be two times as good.
Right. And let's be honest, right? Daniel Cormier should really be fighting at heavyweight.
Yeah.
Heavyweight is his natural weight. He has to cut down to get to 205.
Well, we know why. Between not wanting to fight Cardio Cain, and then also there's too many big guys up there for him. He can't really.
I think he could have.
We're going to find out.
He already did it at Strikeforce.
We're going to find out.
I think he could have.
He says he's cleaning out the division. He's moving up.
The problem is that at the last press conference, though, he said he actually kind of walked back on that and said that he flat out did not want to fight Stipe Miocic or Francis Ngannou.
No,
he was like, what, am I crazy?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
But then again, that could have been just
selling the fight. He's a company guy.
Yeah. Right.
So I think we're both agreed. We think it's Daniel Cormier by
ground and pound.
Oh, you think it's a TKO?
I think it is ground and pound.
I think it's submission. I think it's okay. I think because the ground and pound for him is only a way to make them turn over and give up the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then good night.
Yeah, I mean, but
so the round is the issue.
Yeah,
probably second because he hasn't really seen a lot of Ozdemir.
Right.
I don't see this going past the second round.
I'm actually thinking that Cormier will try to take this into deep waters to test Ozdemir's tank.
Okay.
So I'm going to take the ground and pound in the fourth round.
That seems risky to keep trying those shots, to let Ozdemir keep landing on you. Mm-hmm. That seems risky. Okay, we'll see.
Well, and I'm not saying that he'll take the shot.
Yeah.
To take the shots in order to test. I think he's going to keep the fight alive.
Yes.
And make sure that Ozdemir has to use lateral movement in order to stay alive.
But I think it's still risky. The longer the fight goes, the longer chance you give your opponent to throw punches.
True.
Unless you just stay on top of him.
Very true.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's your favorite part. It's our favorite part. We have come to the main event of the evening.
Introducing first, fighting out of the blue corner from Cameroon, weighing in at 250 pounds, the Predator, Francis Ngannou. And then the champion, fighting out of the red corner, hailing from Croatia by way of Northeast Ohio.
By way of the Excelsior District in San Francisco.
The champion, Stipe Miocic.
So much to say about this. Here we are. It's 2018. There's a lot going on in this world, in particular this country and our identities. And here we are, where the one of the most talked about UFC fighters is an African who was homeless a few months ago. And it's almost the Conan story, and I've stolen this from much smarter people, namely Joe Rogan. But, you know, when you hear this story about this dude used to be, like, digging sand as a child to feed his family.
Yep.
And then, I didn't know this, his father was, like, a really famous street fighter in Cameroon. Yep. And he grew up street fighting and was like, no, F this, I'm going to France. To go from that to being where he is now, which is great. And then he's woke, which is also great. But then also fighting the man who may redefine the heavyweight division by breaking all the records.
Very well could.
If Stipe wins next Saturday, this will be, you know, nobody's defended more than three times.
Well, that the as we know, the heavyweight division is very dangerous. It's hard to keep that belt when you got 25 guys that could literally put your lights out with one punch.
Yeah.
It's a tough task. It is tough sledding, that is for sure.
You also have this other narrative, which is this, you know, fighting is something that you do that's part of your life. Mm-hmm. So you have somebody like Miocic, who is a part-time firefighter who trains. So his fighting is integrated into his life. Family man. All that. And then you got Ngannou, who's like, okay, I'm going to move to Vegas and basically spend 14 hours a day in the UFC Performance Institute.
That he lives 5 minutes from.
Right. And then when I'm not, and do all my training here, move my coaches here, wrestle with Kevin Lee all day. So there's this science, you know, versus lifestyle kind of thing. And I'm sure there's not an accident that the person fighting for the heavyweight belt is an African in less than 4 weeks from the release of Marvel Studios' Black Panther. I'm sure that's a coincidence.
It's got
to
be.
I'm sure Cage Against the Machine had nothing to do with that.
We couldn't have.
We couldn't have. Or could we?
Maybe.
The more important narrative is going into 2018, it feels like with the absence of Sauron and the sale of the company.
And rumored second sale.
There is, we'll have to talk about that. Because that to me is Bitcoin-ish. There is the sense of resetting of the clock and an order following to things.
Right.
The last three pay-per-views have been incredible. I have no complaints about this main event or the co-main event.
None.
It's hard. It's just I show up and I enjoy. I'm not really arguing. So this is a really hard one to call, and I'm going to tell you why. Stipe, if he was fighting anybody else who isn't named Cain Velasquez, it's very easy to figure out where this fight's going to end. Mm-hmm. I don't see anybody else beating him in the heavyweight division. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Mm-hmm. You clearly see the power and the danger and the heart of Francis Ngannou, but we've not seen him on the ground. And there's a reason
for
that.
Well, one time we have.
Yeah, but...
And he won that fight by a rear naked choke.
Right. That was with Curtis Blaydes?
I believe that was Anthony Hamilton.
Right, okay. Who's a wrestler.
Yes.
Right. And I heard his wrestling's incredible.
It is.
But just we haven't seen it.
Right.
We haven't seen it. So...
But when you have those canned hams for fists, it's not needed sometimes.
Man, so it really is raw power versus game plan, and it's really hard to call this one. This may be one of those mulligan moments where I just have to say, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't know.
Wow.
These guys are, this fight is so vinegar and baking soda.
That's a pretty apt description.
It's so -1, +1. Like, it really is an episode of Full Metal Alchemist. Like, they're canceling each other out in a way. It's really hard to call.
Well, I'll tell you this. This is what I find interesting. The thing that I find interesting, right, is we have this guy who's the champion, Stipe Miocic, right? And if all the listeners, if you could just bear with me for a moment and see if you can follow me, okay? Stipe Miocic, as we know, is a firefighter.
And
he's a firefighter in conjunction with his training. Francis Ngannou is completely, he's immersed in this thing. He doesn't do anything else. He doesn't see anything else. He doesn't breathe anything else. He is all mixed martial arts, all training, all the time. Now, could you imagine the parallel with Stipe Miocic having a regular 9-to-5 on top of training? And for him to be the champion, this would be the equivalent of a 29-year-old Kobe Bryant having a regular 9-to-5 during the summer.
Now, yes, but keep in mind, there's a difference. Let's think about this. Kobe Bryant works in an accounting firm and then goes out and plays basketball. Or Kobe Bryant works at, like, Chevy's and goes and plays basketball. But what this guy's doing, he's working part-time as a firefighter, which is really your on or off. You're either sitting around waiting and you could train, and you're getting paid to train, mm-hmm. or you're in peer mindset. Mm-hmm. You're going and fighting a fire, mm-hmm. which is the mental game, which you and I know trumps every other skill set.
Absolutely.
Right?
I'm just saying
this fool's literally in situations every week that's like, if you swing the wrong axe,
right.
if you kick the wrong door,
right.
if you spray the wrong hose, it's not just about me dying.
Right.
People die.
Right.
So you have to be focused in there.
Oh, no question. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there is this thing where if another type of athlete, mm-hmm. if another type of professional athlete had a regular 9-to-5, there would be questions about that person's focus.
That's why I'm saying it's the narrative.
I'm just saying that it's interesting.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
All.
That's why
all.
I think it's so amazing, because you also, again, and this is any other type of athlete, you got to, you know, for those who don't know, look at the background of Stipe. This is a Golden Gloves boxer
right.
and a collegiate wrestler.
Right.
So he's put in those years on as an athlete that his opponent may not have, who is now fully immersed in it. So again, the narrative, I can't find any other, it's really yin and yang.
Right.
Balancing each other out. We
right.
don't know. It's Ken and Ryu in this
right.
fight.
Right. And
it couldn't
for
be
me,
more perfect.
For me.
Yeah.
It is clear that Stipe Miocic is the better fighter.
Yes.
That is clear
yes.
to me. However.
He is more skilled.
Exactly.
However.
No question. However.
Francis.
When you have a guy, and Cage Cousins, you've heard me say this a million times, and I will say this until the end of time. When you have a guy, or if you have a woman, who can end the fight in the blink of an eye with that one punch knockout power, anything can happen. And we've seen this after, you know, he basically put Alistair Overeem in a deathbed.
That's not his name. His name is Unicron.
Oh.
Remember at the end, remember after all the Transformer movies? The Unicron's head just be floating still.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
You can look up right now and still see Alistair's head up there just.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that Miocic, clearly the better fighter, clearly more skilled, has the championship experience.
Yes.
Been there, done that, but he's up against this unknown freak of nature who is 250 pounds of nothing but muscle with cat-like quickness.
Yes, and has a shovel hook. When it's kind of ironic, again, this is somebody who used to dig sand and has a shovel hook. I mean, it's just, you can't make this stuff up.
And I mean, the question is for me,
yeah,
whether or not Francis Ngannou will be able to thwart the takedown attempts that will inevitably come in this fight.
Yeah.
That is where the question lies.
Got it. So it's the ability for Ngannou to defend the takedown.
Absolutely.
Because you don't see him aggressing it.
Absolutely.
My fear is actually, I think it, yeah, it's funny. I wonder if it will actually be the reverse.
Because once he ends up on his back.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
And Miocic is on top.
Game over.
It's ball game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Unless Ngannou has some crazy grappling now.
That's what I was about to say.
Now, however.
What's the one thing that Stipe may not be expecting? Somebody to be aggressive grappling.
However, I don't remember who Ngannou's jiu-jitsu coach is.
He just lost him.
Did he?
Robert Fallis.
No. It's another guy. He's actually a UFC fighter too.
Oh no, Vinny Magalas.
There we go. Thank you.
Yeah.
And from what Vinny Magalas says, he says that Ngannou picks up everything faster than any student he's ever had.
Yeah.
So that's the part that's gonna be interesting because if Miocic does get this fight to the ground, will Ngannou be able to either use jiu-jitsu in reverse to get up or submit him off his back?
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
We don't know.
So, what is your pick? Do you have the ability to make a pick?
Yes.
Okay.
I am going to take Stipe Miocic to retain the title in a 5-round decision.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So, for the record, ladies and gentlemen, I am not biased.
But right, we don't just pick him because he's African. We want to, but we don't. We believe the stuff we talk. But they'll see each other again.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question.
They'll be fighting again in September.
There's literally no one else that Miocic could absolutely fight right now because there is no other heavyweight that even deserves a title shot.
No, they'll be fighting again January again.
Maybe end of the year.
We're going to do this again.
Yeah, we'll definitely do this again.
All right, we're going to take another break and we'll be back. I am Sweet NBA.
And I am the doctor, J.K. Akins.
And we are recorded by Deshaun Davis at Dream. Holler.
Yeah, yeah.
So much going on in the world of finance, business. Disney buys Fox.
Yeah.
Amazon buys Whole Foods.
I am thoroughly convinced that Disney is trying to take over the world.
Disney already controls the world.
Yeah.
Disney is Thanos. But now, as we alluded to, there's a rumor that there will be another sale of the UFC.
Yes.
I'm not the biggest fan, but I'll let you talk about it. I see it as speculative. I see it as an investor grab.
I'm sure it's exactly that. But the last time we heard rumors of this magnitude, you know, it turned out to be some validity. Now, Dana White was coming out and saying, no, it's not true. No, it's not true. No, it's not true. And then lo and behold, the Fertitta brothers come up on $5 billion.
Right. And then they sold more. Here's what I suspect is going to do. they are going to use this opportunity to get more investors.
Okay.
And sell shares.
Okay.
And then use that money to set up a division of for boxing, basically. Huh. I don't know if it would be Zuffa or whatever, but it will be a boxing division where they do their own thing.
Right. I also heard one, there was also one reporter that I actually spoke with that tried to sell me the idea that Dana White would actually resign from the UFC and then go into boxing promotion on his own.
I've heard that one too. I don't see them able to take over the shop without him yet.
Right. I agree with that.
Do not have the ability to sell fights without him yet.
I agree with that.
And he knows that, and they built that. Because he would have been gone with the Fertittas if that was the case.
Exactly. Which is why he held on to his 9% of the company.
Right. And then if you look at the other people that they brought in, you know. So, I don't see that as happening, but, you know.
You never know.
You never know. Been wrong.
I mean, I don't see it happening either. I don't. But, but I'm just saying the last time that we heard these rumors, it turned out to be true.
Or it could just be, you know. Could be some Bitcoining.
Yeah, and maybe a little smoke screening in there somewhere.
You know, might be hiding some things.
Maybe.
I don't know. The other thing is Showtime released numbers from the Cerrone versus Mayweather fight. To find out, you know, despite the Dark Lord's claims that he was the global leader, not the record holders they thought it was.
Damn, we just called this fool Voldemort. Damn, I love Harry Potter. I'm a nerd, I know.
You ever been to Pottermore?
I have not yet.
How are you a nerd and you never been there?
Man, brother, it's hard to get to Florida sometime.
No, it's hard to get out of Florida sometime. Yeah, I looked at those numbers. Showtime's hosing him. That's why I think he's fighting. I think he's fighting again this year. I'm counting on it.
Interesting.
It's terrible fights for him.
Oh, yeah. Ferguson or Nurmagomedov?
It's terrible fights.
Oh, man.
Terrible fights for him. But that's
he'll
why,
die.
But that's why he'll fight, because it's good. It's good for him. But it'll probably be him and Tony, I think. I don't see him wanting Khabib.
Yeah, I mean, he was talking all kind of trash on Twitter, talking about Khabib looked like trash. Yes. And I was like, what fight were you watching?
Man, I mean, fair. Yes. Technique-wise, maybe he's not you, but he also has cardio you've never had. So.
Oh, and that is a fact.
Which also goes, speaking of cardio and Soren, which goes back to the boxing rumor.
Right.
I can see a lot of celebrity fights with Diaz.
Okay.
I can see, you know, any number of celebrity boxing, of boxing matches with Diaz versus somebody.
So okay. Okay.
What else should we tune in on? Question I have that's personal. When will we see Sajara Eubanks back? When do you think? If you're listening, Sajara, you need to come take that belt.
It's a great question.
That's a great story. You and Nico Montoya is a great story.
Yeah, I literally have no idea.
The other moment in MMA, which is interesting, is all the shift with Bellator has also brought in the possibility that maybe the UFC will hire Jimmy Smith.
Really?
Yeah.
So is Jimmy Smith leaving Bellator?
Fired.
Really?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Well, they're
not fired. They just, okay, let me not say that.
Mutually split ways.
Did not renew the option.
Okay. I had a feeling that was going to happen once they decided to bring in Chael Sonnen. I had a feeling that was going to happen either way, especially after they brought in Mike Goldberg.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. If I'm being completely honest, when I listen to Jimmy Smith, I feel like I'm listening to a carbon copy of Joe Rogan anyway.
I knew you were going to say that. Especially because they have the same haircut and the same shirt. But what I would challenge
and
you
I,
is...
I just mean... And I just
have you ever
mean
heard
that,
them talk to each other?
No.
Listen to them. I would challenge you to talk... Listen to them talk to each other and imagine that next to a fight. And I think you could redefine the color and play-by-play in a new realm.
Well, Jimmy Smith will never be play-by-play.
No.
Because he's a color guy as well.
No, but I mean, but meaning that's the, they could reinvent it because they're both so...
I see what you're saying.
They're so knowledgeable.
You mean in terms of what the NBA does with players only.
Dude, they could create something new that we haven't seen before because they're both so credible. They're emotional.
Well, that's what the NBA already does NBA TNT. NBA TV.
Right.
They already have broadcasts with nothing but players.
I'm saying these two guys because of their grappling background, because of their striking background.
Right.
One would argue that maybe Jimmy Smith has a little bit more credibility as he competed and he was Team Punishment, whereas Rogan has never actually. He's only been a commenter.
He's only done Taekwondo.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think it could be very interesting.
Okay.
I think it'd be hugely interesting.
Well, I mean, it definitely creates an interesting dynamic, especially now that the UFC has already established this thing with Dominic Cruz and Daniel Cormier when they're both available.
Yeah.
And you put them on the same color commentary table, and it's magic.
It really is.
It's magic.
But I think also those guys are not meatheads. That's why it helps.
That is true.
And the problem is they keep putting meatheads up there.
Well, they're trying to, because I believe that Paul Felder also had a chance as well.
Paul's smart. He's smart. But I think if you're not a striker, you don't get him.
Right.
Well, other preview, UFC 221. I could not be more excited.
Right.
After 220, we will be down in Australia, which is a card which will be 80% Polynesian. I'm just like happier than I don't have an appropriate metaphor.
I got you.
I'm working really hard.
I got you. I got you.
But it's going to be great. And the return of Mark Hunt, which is always a good thing. And the true test, we'll see the middleweight division cleaned up again. The belts will be unified, right? So this is real. Resetting of the clock. I've had a blast. I hope you guys enjoyed. We're going to be doing some changes throughout the year. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Yes, indeed.
One last thing I want to say before we tune out. If you remember our last podcast, we sort of gave a shout out and we're rooting for one of our inspirations. And unfortunately, over the last month, the world was became a little bit darker and some of our light was taken with the loss of Reggie Ose, a.k.a. Combat Jack, which was a huge inspiration for myself. JK, Deshaun, in so many realms. And it just, you know, I encourage everybody out there listening to us to, you don't hear it enough, but not only shoot your shot and take that moment to tell people and ask a question, no matter how high in stature they are, because you never know if you can get access. And if it wasn't for those opportunities, I wouldn't have learned the things that I've learned from people like Reggie Ose or Ben Hameen. But also, like, people are important to you. They need to know that you're important while you're around. Not when they're hurt, not when they're sick, not when they're missing. But, like, today is a good day to just text somebody and say, hey, man, I love you. And so our hearts, minds go out not only to the rest of the Combat Jack show and everybody who kind of spawned from that, like Fan Bros and Premium.
But
Pete,
most importantly, his family.
His family.
Most importantly.
That you know, it just... It's going to be a little bit difficult, but I guess, you know, my dad has somebody else cool to talk to, and there's somebody to do a really good interview with Sean Price. So that's the way I got to look at these things. So we will be back in 30 days to cover our next UFC, and we got a lot of cool things planned for the year. I am the Sweet MBA.
And I am Dr. J.K. Akins.
We are recorded, produced, and managed by Deshaun Davis.
That's, D-squared.
That's big D, little E, big S, at Dream Air. We are distributed through the SlideShow Network, and we will be back with you very soon.
Chill!
You an MMA fan?
Dude.
Dude, what?